Ukraine marks 3 years since Russia's invasion as Trump expresses hope that the war will soon end.
A lot of progress has been made. We've had some very good talks with Russia. We've had some very good talks with others.
Can a shift in U.S. policy on Russia lead to lasting peace and security in Ukraine and on the continent?
The ally they have now is not like the old ally, and the ally they have now has a whole different interests in mind, and they're unfolding day by day as we try to put together a picture of exactly what kind of ally Ukraine has.
Today is Monday, February 24th, and this is The Issue from VOA. Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
I think the war could end soon. Within weeks.
As Ukraine marks a third year since Russia's full-scale invasion, President Donald Trump, speaking to reporters while meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron at the White House Monday, expressed hope that Russia's war in Ukraine is nearing an end game.
President Macron is a very special man in my book. We were together. We did it together. And I think a lot of progress has been made. We've had some very good talks with Russia. We've had some very good talks with others, and we're trying to get the war ended with Russia and Ukraine. And I think we've come a long way in a short period of weeks.
Macron said Europe is prepared to provide security guarantees to Ukraine.
It's a very important moment for Europe as well. And I'm here as well after discussions with all my colleagues to say that Europe is willing to step up, to be a stronger partner, to do more in defense and security for this continent, and as well to be a reliable partner.
Trump also said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is willing to come to the White House to sign a deal giving the U.S. access to Ukraine's minerals.
He may come in this week or next week to sign the agreement, and which would be nice. I'd love to meet him. We'd meet at the Oval Office. So the agreement's being worked on now. They're very close to a final deal. It'll be a deal with rare earths and various other things. And he would like to come, as I understand it, here to sign it. And that would be great with me.
And as the U.S. shifts its policy under Trump, Zelensky, in an address marking the third year of the war, made his case for unity.
And we hope that the United States will continue support, like all the partners. All the partners do it, and we need also not to lose this unity between Europe and United States.
Earlier Monday, Trump and Macron participated in a virtual meeting with fellow Group of Seven leaders to discuss the war. Let's get some analysis on the latest developments as the war enters a fourth year. Joining us is James Townsend, adjunct senior fellow with the Center for a New American Security, Transatlantic Security Program. This is an anniversary marked with a major shift in U.S. policy on Russia and on Ukraine under President Donald Trump.
I think Ukraine is losing an ally such as they knew during the Biden administration, which gave full-throated support, military support, economic support, sanctions on Russia, pulling together a group of allies and friends to do the same thing in terms of assistance, trying to isolate Russia. There was just a major push in the West, led by the United States, to help their ally Ukraine deal with this invasion. And so with Donald Trump being elected, he's decided to go in another direction. And we're not quite sure why the sudden shift in direction. Is it because he truly believes Putin in terms of what Putin says caused the war? Is it because he doesn't like Zelensky because of past problems during his first term? Is it for other reasons that are more transactional? He wants to try to get to Ukraine minerals or Russian minerals. They've been offering as well, trying to cut a deal. So the ally they have now is not like the old ally. And the ally they have now has a whole different interests in mind, and they're unfolding day by day as we try to put together a picture of exactly what kind of ally Ukraine has today.
If the U.S. does decrease or stop providing military aid to Ukraine, can Europe be able to make up some of the difference or enough of the difference to help Ukraine hang on, or is it over without U.S. military aid?
Well, it's, as Zelensky said, it's certainly more difficult without U.S. aid, in the sense that the sheer amount of aid, military aid particularly, that we were providing, the type of aid in terms of sophisticated weaponry, more and more sophisticated as the years went on. Europe is not in a place to replace the mass, the sheer numbers of assistance that's needed. Ukraine over time has developed their own indigenous capability to manufacture, whether it's artillery shells, but particularly drones. They probably manufacture more drones than we do, and they certainly are better at using them. So the situation for Ukraine has gotten better over 3 years in terms of their own ability to do things. Tactics have changed on the battlefield so that massive armor movements don't work anymore because of the drones. And so there's changes on the battlefield that help the defense, that help Ukraine. But Europeans, I think economic assistance, financial assistance, I think they should be able to provide a lot of that, particularly if they use the Russian funds that have been frozen in European banks. And so they have an ability to provide assistance there. But at the end of the day, even given all that I said, it's not going to be the same kind of assistance that they're used to. And I think they can hang on, but can they win? Can they push Russia out with this kind of supply? I don't think so. I think they're going to be holding their own. They're going to be treading water in some ways, but the days of a Ukrainian offensive that will change the course of the battle, I don't see that happening, particularly if the kinds of supply that the U.S. provides isn't there anymore.
Does that mean the threat of Ukraine no longer having its sovereignty protected?
I think what that means is that it's going to impact certainly their position in the negotiations. Right now, they don't have a seat at the negotiations the way the U.S. and Russia do. But in any kind of negotiation, no matter who's at the table, facts on the battlefield matter. And so I think what we see is that they are not in the position on the battlefield to give them a lot of leverage. The Kursk move that they made, where they went into that area of Russia, the Ukraine did, that has not provided them certainly the leverage that they were hoping that they might get at the table. So I think what this means is that they're not as strong at the table, and whatever comes from that, that will certainly involve their sovereignty and involve their ability to guarantee their own sovereignty. So the Europeans right now, I think this is going to fall in their lap to try to provide some kind of security guarantee, depending on how Ukraine ends up in the negotiations. If they lose out and have to have a neutral stance or a very small military, then that's going to certainly impact how able Ukraine will be to secure their own sovereignty. They're going to need the help of the Europeans. It sounds like the U.S. has already taken off the table that we would be part of that security force. I mean, things can change, but so this their military capability and the lack of U.S. assistance to keep it strong impacts their ability at the negotiating table to come up with a security guarantee that's strong, and it impacts the fate of the European security guarantee, because more and more of this will fall on them to do, and of course they don't necessarily have this military strength that they really need to have a long-term security guarantee in terms of a presence in Ukraine. They're too small right now.
Are Europeans concerned that things could get more complicated if Ukraine is forced to accept a ceasefire deal that favors Russia, that was a deal that really didn't include them or even Ukraine?
Oh, they're very anxious about that. They're not just anxious, but they're angry. They're going to be coming in through town. Macron arrives to the White House to talk. Keir Starmer from the UK will be here a few days after that, trying to make a case for Europe to be involved in this, that this is going to impact European security, that they're going to try to offer military forces, to Ukraine for a security to help provide a security guarantee. They're willing to be players. And we'll see what Trump does with that. But I think at the same time, for this to really work, Europe is going to have to really become much stronger than they are to provide a security force that can really deter further Russian aggression. And so this is there's a lot that's going to have to be decided as these talks get underway, and the role of Europe is still up in the air. We're just going to have to see what happens as a result of the Macron talks, Keir Starmer. You know, is something going to come from these talks where Europe will play and they won't be as anxious? They'll be at the table. They'll be listened to. They can be part of the solution. We just don't know, and but we'll have a better idea in the coming couple of weeks.
A Ukrainian minister has said that Kyiv and Washington are close to signing a deal over U.S. access to Ukraine's mineral deposits. What would that be like? What does that mean for Ukraine and the U.S.? Could that work?
Well, that has been a theory for many years that U.S. presence in a country, whether it's military presence at a base or whether it's strong trade relations with a particular country, that there's an inherent security guarantee that is there. Theoretically, like a country will not invade another country if the U.S. has a strong relationship with that country through trade or whatever it might be. In this day and age, I wouldn't put my trust in that. but that seems to be one of the reasons that Zelensky has been given that he should sign this kind of minerals for security agreement, because there is this inherent U.S. security elements there, because if we have a lot of business in Ukraine, a lot of work is being done. There's a lot of U.S. business at stake, that we would defend that. We would defend that interest. I'm not so sure. I think there's got to be something else that's more on the ground and more strong military or NATO membership or whatever. That's got to be part of that package. It can't just be, look, we're going to come in and take half of your rare earths, you know, and then we'll just trust that the Russians will understand that they shouldn't mess around with Ukraine, because now you're now our business partner or something like that. So, you know, so that's what it is. But I mean, at the same time, when you look at this deal, it's almost extortion. It's almost like pay for protection. And again, that protection is more implied. So I just think it's not a good look for the United States. And it's something that the Ukrainians are being forced to do with a gun to their head, just about. So I don't know. We'll have to see where this goes. I've also heard that they're close to signing. And then we'll see how this actually works.
There's also the issue of the territory that Russia has seized. There have been statements by Trump administration officials saying, you know, it's too late, that they won't be able to get them back. Ukraine has long said that would not be part of the deal. Would that really end the ambitions of what Russia wants and believes is rightly theirs?
Well, that's right. I don't think Russia would stop there. I mean, Hitler didn't after the Sudetenland was given to Germany from Czechoslovakia. I mean, that was then, this is now, you know, but I think history is important here. And the idea that a ceasefire and then some kind of agreement that exchanges the Donbas area, in return for Russia not making any further moves against Ukraine. I don't think you can trust that. And that's where the security guarantee comes in. If they, in fact, will lose, that's part of their territory, and there is no guarantee that the Russians won't make another attempt, even if they say they won't, there's no real guarantee that they'll hold to that. That gets back to that security guarantee and something better than the Budapest Memorandum of a few years ago that obviously failed. Russia was a signatory to that, as was the U.S. and the allies. So I think if there's going to be a peace agreement and there's going to be land lost or exchanged for a new boundary, that the sovereignty of that new Ukraine is going to have to be guaranteed by something more than something implicit from a trade deal or something like the Budapest Memorandum or a lightly armed small little force and a neutral Ukraine. They're going to have to do something better than that. We're going to have to figure out what that is, but we can't, but you know, we've already taken off the table. The U.S. did that Ukraine could go into NATO, that the U.S. be part of that security guarantee. You know, a lot of the major tools at our disposal that could be used to help do a security guarantee, they've been taken off the table. So this is going to be tough for Ukraine, and the West is going to have to watch this very carefully and not just sell Ukraine down the road for in a bad agreement.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your insights.
You're very welcome.
That was James Townsend, adjunct senior fellow with the Center for a New American Security, Transatlantic Security Program. You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America. On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thanks so much for joining us. For more news 24 hours a day, check out our website at voanews.com. In Washington, I'm Lori London.